Welcome to the Bowden Blitz ACC edition. I'm Joe Lisi, joined by former National Coach of the Year, Terry Bowden. Coach, we enter this weekend, week number 12, the final stretch before conference championships games, the week of December 4th. We'll take a look at the updated odds entering week number 12. We saw another change this week based off the upsets that we saw in the conference last Saturday. Give me your thoughts about where we stand entering week number 12.
Well, you got the ACC. It was just a matter of nobody wants to rise above the occasion and win. Just when a team starts to take control or is in a good position, they lose. And the ACC was a big upset special all weekend. Now, you got nobody with no losses, five teams with one loss. Everybody's got to play somebody else in the equation. So it's a wide open affair. And I'll be honest with you, there's not a team in the ACC that you fall in love with anymore. Everybody's got blemishes.
Yeah, and when you look about potentially the hottest team in the conference, that could be the Pitt Panthers. They square right off with top-ranked Notre Dame. It's a non-conference game. They then finish their schedule against Miami and Georgia Tech, respectively. So Pittsburgh at 7-1 is very much alive for a conference championship. The way it looks now, and to your point, with Louisville losing to California, with Virginia getting knocked off last week by Wake Forest, now it looks potentially like the conference might only get one team into the college football playoff. Do you still see that as a potential possibility, or two or three teams still potentially alive?
I felt like I didn't never feel real good about three, but I said, you know what, they'll get two. They can get two. Right now, I'm leaning now towards one, depending on what happens in the next two games, because you just don't know how it's going to end up. But right now, they're not assured of two victories. Like I said, there's just not a team that you say, man, that team is it. That is the team in the conference. Right now, there's not one team that you just like. You mentioned Pittsburgh. I think that's as good a pick as anybody, the way their quarterback is playing. So it's got to play out. Better be careful, because very easily they could only have one team in the college football playoffs.
We'll take a look at the updated national championship odds for the teams in the ACC. The Miami Hurricanes, Coach, still have the best odds at 125-1. Georgia Tech, which is now favored to win the ACC, sits at a 300-1 price. They only have one loss versus the two losses by the Hurricanes. Pittsburgh, we said, 500-1. Louisville, 700-1. SMU, 750-1. Is it worth even taking a shot as a lottery ticket on any one of these teams entering this weekend?
You know, I really like Pittsburgh, but their schedule, I mean, they've got to know if they knock off Notre Dame, Georgia Tech, and Miami, it'll be clear-cut sailing right now. I think they're playing the best football, but I really don't know that there's a team that I would pick on. Right now, I think, I mean, Duke really didn't play well, but I like Duke as well, but I don't know that there is a favorite. I have gone to the point where I don't have a team that I have a good feel for as being any a better chance than others. And if you want a good money game, you might as well. Pittsburgh, one of those teams that's really hot.
And when you see the top to bottom right now, we see Miami, Georgia Tech, Pittsburgh, Louisville, and SMU, a team that's playing much better as of late, happens to be Bill Belichick and the North Carolina Tar Heels. They were 7.5-point home favorites over Stanford. They got the win, but no cover, 20-15 over the Cardinal. But this is a team that has shown more consistency. Bill Belichick came out today and said that he's focused on ACC opponents. He's not focused now on the current opening in the NFL with the New York Giants. He's been mentioned as being a potential candidate. What do you feel about North Carolina and big picture about Bill Belichick? Will he, in fact, be in college football next season?
You know, I think he is. I think he will. I think he sees now that he's got – it's almost like he's got something to prove. Because when the first game or two came about, I said, where's his heart? What's he doing in North Carolina? Doesn't seem to have his total commitment to that program, or the motivation's not there. And yet I've watched the way he's played. And I've always had a saying, when you turn around a bad program, it starts out, you lose big, then you lose close, then you win close, and then you win big. Well, he's gone through all those phases until now. He's winning close, and he's really got a chance to shock everybody and get to a bowl game. So I think he sees light at the end of the tunnel. Such a bad start. I think he also sees light at the end of the tunnel. And I got a feeling, just as a matter of pride and a matter of to prove it to others, that they're going to go out there and get this program turned around.
Yeah, they have won two straight. They do have the ability. They play Wake Forest this weekend and have the ability to win maybe five straight down the stretch. They're 4-5 overall right now. Two more wins and they become bowl eligible. And you would think that at least in year number one, getting to a bowl, weeding out the players that fit the scheme and don't fit the scheme, potentially the biggest progression. We talk about a first-year head coach right. happens to be from year one to year number two.
Right.
So that program then is set up for success in 2026. So, and coach, they're doing it in the interior, right? They're running the football better, playing better sound defense. And that's all you can ask for in respect to the second half of the regular season.
And they're trending. You know, if you go 5-5 or you're sitting at 4-5 and you've lost three out of your last four, then you're heading in the wrong direction. But they're winning now. They're moving in that right direction. Like I mentioned, lose big, lose close, win close. And they have gone through those phases, lost a couple of games, really, on the goal line that they should have won. And it would have even been bigger now. So, really, I think they're trending in that direction. And he knows how to win football games. He knows how to build a football program. He's now, I think, got his program committed. He's committed, got his staff. And I'll be anxious to see how it finishes out because whether they get to a bowl game or not, they're trending. They're trending in the right direction. They're moving that program where they want it to go.
And we'll see how it plays out. Winners of two of the last three, and North Carolina will be, in fact, bowl eligible for 2025. A program that's looking to become bowl eligible went on the road last weekend into Death Valley. It was Florida State. Coach, they were catching basically 2 points in that matchup. They went into Death Valley. The defense fell apart in the second half. They only put up 10 points, couldn't run the football effectively. They lose it by 14 points. And now Mike Norvell is facing the hot seat rumors yet again. Give me your thoughts about that performance last Saturday night, and where does Florida State go from here?
You know, they're so inconsistent. 1 week they can't play defense. The next week they can't play offense. Even though they lead the nation or top three in total offense, they go up against a Duke team that gave up – how many points did Duke give up last week to Clemson? And although they still won, and they come out and get 10 points. That's all they can get is 10 points, 110 yards rushing, 250 passing, and that's what they hang their hat on. And so 1 week it's bad defense, 1 week it's bad offense. I think I saw in the press conference with Mike Norvell – is saying we're going to win a championship. I really think he's pleading his case. He's pleading his case. Hang on. Next year, we got it. But I think they're still concerned with the program, not wanting to fire their head coach.
He had said that, and the remarks that he made, Coach, was that he's built this program up at one point, obviously taking them to an ACC championship, 13-0 in the regular season a couple of seasons ago, and then they fell off a cliff last year at 2-10. We said that it was potentially another 2 or 3 year window before maybe they got back to a 10 or an 11 win season. Do you see the progression, even if in fact they are a 6-win football team this year?
Well, I think when I saw how bad it was last year, before the season began this year, I said, fellas, peep, don't think about a one-year flip from 2-10 to 10-2. This is a two-year process. They won their first game. Everybody got excited. This is realistically more the type of progression that you thought they would have. Although I'll say this, the natives are restless. The Seminoles are restless to win better and play better than they are playing because he's making big-time money.
When Coach and I return, we'll talk more about a recap of week number 11, including the upset in Louisville, Cal, and the Cardinals coming up next. Back on the Bowden Blitz, Joe Lisi and Coach Bowden breaking down week number 11. We left off talking about Clemson's victory in Death Valley over Florida State. Coach, the remarks from Mike Norvell came out earlier in the week that it's a two-year window. He knows what it takes to get back on track. And twofold, we haven't heard much out of Clemson and the situation surrounding Dabo Swinney, but they stopped the bleeding for a week. You see Mike Norvell right now, we talk about the hot seat rumors. We talk about his six seasons in Tallahassee, 36-31 overall, and it didn't include that 13-0 regular season just a couple of years ago. $59.2 million is what's owed to Mike Norvell over the next 6 years. I guess the biggest question is, for Florida State, is that money worth it over the course of the next six or five seasons?
I think it's going to be important how he ends his season because, like I say, if it continues to trend downward like it did against Clemson, I think it's going to open up that decision that they have to make. They don't want to make it. I know the financial situation there. I know how much invested they've got already, committed they've got in their facilities, upgraded facilities, the stadium, assistant coaches, head coach. It's a big, big chunk that FSU doesn't want to do. But he finishes up with Florida, a Florida that's fired their coach. If he were to lose to Florida in the last game and it were to be ugly, I don't know how they could hang on. But I think he believes he can. He knows the importance of it. I just don't think it's as locked up solid as he would hope it would be.
And on the flip side for Dabo, right, we haven't heard much out of Clemson, and you see now the situation with LSU, how ugly the buyout is with Brian Kelly. They're potentially going the legal route, saying that they fired him for cause. Do you think Clemson is monitoring the situation as it relates to Dabo, if they do in fact make a move, just because of how ugly some of these situations are and where they would be maybe in respect to some of the SEC programs?
Well, I think two things are different about Dabo. One, his body of work. He's got two national champions, numerous conference champions. He is solely responsible for the greatest era in the history of Clemson. And two, when they talked about Brian Kelly not being a good fit, he is a perfect fit for Clemson. Cultural, the way he is, he's got that country boy, Opie kind of personality that fits right into Clemson, and he's got a great body of work. He wants to prove he can do it. I don't think he's in trouble, to be honest with you. He doesn't want to leave. They don't want to get rid of him. I just think that's one of those things that you have to understand that situation and how ingrained they are in the Dabo Swinney way of things and how much of a competitor he is. When he says, I'm going to get this thing turned around, he's got a record to prove it.
Yeah, we'll see. Now, Dabo and Clemson have become 3-4 in the conference. They get a much-needed win over Florida State. We'll see what transpires in the month of November. The upset in the conference happened last Saturday night. Louisville was at home. They were in striking distance to potentially make an ACC title game. All they had to do was take care of business against Cal and Justin Wilcox. They were laying basically 20 points in that matchup. Coach, they didn't just cover, they lost the game outright. Cal strikes the upset, 29-26. They become bowl eligible, picking up their sixth victory on the season. They just outplayed Louisville on both sides of the football last Saturday night.
They really did. Outgained them, 427-351 for Louisville. It was the Cal came to play, and when it got down to the overtime, instead of kicking a field goal just to tie it up, on 4th-and-1, they said, no, let's put all the marbles in a 4th-and-1. And that young quarterback that I can't pronounce his name perfectly, he goes out there and throws a touchdown pass, and they win it without having to go for a field goal and a second overtime. Cal just outplayed him. And that's what disappointing, because Louisville really has the makings of a really good football team. But they've got some ugly losses. Now they've got to come back and get themselves. You know, they've lost two games in overtime. And so, you know, imagine when you start losing games in overtime, you're pretty dang close to having a pretty dang good record. But those are games they should have won. And now all they can do is focus on the next one because they have stretched themselves where there's really not a chance for the conference championship game or the playoffs for this team.
Yeah, I think that the biggest thing for me is that entering this year over the past three seasons with Justin Wilcox. This team was not a very good road team. They entered this year like 6-13 on the road or on a neutral field. They got some quality wins. They get the win against Boston College earlier in the year, took Virginia Tech to overtime on the road, and then knock off one of the better teams in the conference in Louisville. Now the stage is set potentially for next season with a sophomore quarterback and some of the young depth that they have at the skilled players. They're potentially maybe a team that could be a dark horse to win the title next season. So we'll see how it plays out. A team that nobody saw coming was Tony Elliott and Virginia Cavaliers. They were undefeated in the conference last week. They laid 6.5 points to a very blue-collar team in Wake Forest. That was an ugly game, Coach. There were some injuries for Virginia offensively. They couldn't put it together in the second half. They lose the game outright to Dickert and Wake Forest. This Wake Forest team is battle-tested. Yeah. They knocked off SMU. They now knock off Virginia. They win it 16-9.
Yeah, Wake Forest is sneaky good. They are a lot better than people on the outside understand. But I'm going to say this. When UVA lost Chandler Morris, he has been the body and soul of that offense. They lost him in the second quarter. They had no chance. They scored no touchdowns. They kicked field goals. It was a team that, you know, they've made their mark by winning close ball games. They couldn't do it. With the backup quarterback, and that happens at so many places. It happened in Missouri. It happens here. That quarterback, as good as he's going to be maybe one day, not good enough to win that football game, and they have to suffer a loss. But when you're winning games on the last seconds of a game, that's what happens when you're not ready to go with a backup quarterback.
And Jake Dickert has done a fantastic job taking over for Dave Clawson. 6-3 now. They are bowl eligible. Coach, they had a win total at the start of the year right in the area of about 3.5, 4.5 wins to start the year. They have definitely overexceeded expectations. They pick up this victory against North Carolina. It would be 7 wins this year.
Yeah, Dickert needs to get a raise. Now, they need to keep him located right where he is, or his name's going to start getting thrown around in that carousel, because Wake Forest is one of those programs. As a head coach, you got to be careful, because you fall in love with that place, you might miss a job that is a little bit easier to win year in and year out.
When Coach and I return, we'll dive into the biggest games in the ACC for week number 12. Keep it where it is. All right, back on the Bowden Blitz, Joe Lisi and Coach Bowden diving into week number 12 in the conference. Biggest game on tap takes place in Durham. It's Virginia and Duke. Duke right now within striking distance with Georgia Tech to potentially knock down that ACC crown. We talked about the progression and how consistent Darian Mensah is. Coach, this line, 6.5, really favors the Blue Devils. Based off of last week's performance, I don't know if Tony Elliott and this Virginia offense could go toe-to-toe with Darian Mensah. Early on, I'm looking to the Blue Devils to win this ballgame.
Yeah, right now, I still think there's a question out there. Two keys to this game. Is Chandler Morris going to play? He got hit in the head. They took him out of the game. I think it's critical. I've got Duke all the way if he can't play. If he can play. And the second question to me then is, how do they respond to that loss? All we've heard from Tony Elliott is they've got a special mindset. They know how to win close ball games. Well, they can look at last week and say, you know, we were right there, but we lost our quarterback. If they don't get him back, Duke may run away with this game. But if he's back, I think they go back and win a close ball game. Duke, can he be explosive? But Duke gives up explosive plays. I haven't studied enough just yet, but I'm thinking the over in this football game.
Yeah, we'll see. 58.5 is a very high number, and we talk about how good Darian Mensah is. Manny Diaz potentially in one of those coaches that maybe is looking for a bigger and better job in a bigger conference. We'll see exactly how it plays out. But if Virginia is able to pick up this victory, Coach, they jump right back in to the ACC championship race. They were the only team entering last week that was undefeated in the conference. Right now, you look at their conference odds. 8-1. Duke and Georgia Tech seem to be battling it out right now. If Duke picks up this victory, it potentially could be a rematch with Georgia Tech, a team that they lost to earlier in the year.
That's exactly right. Let me go back and say this. Without Chandler Morris, I wouldn't take an over in a heartbeat, and I don't feel good. This is one I'm going to have to wait. That game I need to wait on to see where that quarterback situation goes. It's so drastic. But Duke, I'm going to tell you the way they are playing, and the Georgia Tech game becomes critical also, that they've got to go, and they could go head-to-head down the road. That would be a good one as well.
Yeah, we'll see exactly how this game plays out. A big game in the ACC. It will not count, though, for conference odds, obviously with Notre Dame being an independent, but it will affect the national championship odds in Pittsburgh on Saturday. We see Notre Dame open as a 10.5-point road favorite. We see it now balloon to 11.5 in multiple books. The total right now, 55.5. Pitt, one of the hottest teams in the nation right now, winners of five straight, coming out of a bye week. Coach, Pat Narduzzi came out and said, this game doesn't matter. Notre Dame could beat us 110-3. All that matters is the next two games in the ACC against Georgia Tech and Miami. I understand you might want to say that, but why put that out there, before this matchup? Is he setting up his team for failure entering week number 12?
Oh, no, it's what he says to his team behind closed doors. That's all gamesmanship there. He's just trying to throw out the word that they don't have a chance. I promise you, he's a veteran coach that knows what he's doing. That comment was meant for Notre Dame because he knows he's got a quarterback that's probably the hottest quarterback in the league, best young freshman quarterback in a while, and they're on a roll at Pittsburgh. And so Notre Dame, yes, they are favored, and Notre Dame can control that football with that running attack and that quarterback, but they are playing with house money at Pitt. That doesn't mean they don't care. That means they can go out there, put a few trick plays in, go for it on fourth down. They know they're an underdog, and I think this gives Pitt the opportunity to say, let's do whatever it takes to win, not let's don't worry about getting beat if we get beat.
Agreed, and I think twofold when you think that, how could Pitt be alive potentially in this game? They're playing with house money. It's not a right. conference game. And their strength defensively happens to be the front seven, one of the best, not just in the ACC, but in all of college football, holding opposing offenses to 80 rushing yards per game and only 2.3 yards per carry. And, oh, by the way, C.J. Carr is a freshman, and all the pressure on Notre Dame. Why? Because they can't afford to lose this game. They lose this game, they are out of the college football playoff picture.
You got exactly right. All the pressure is on Notre Dame, and they know it. And they know they've got a good football team. I think they'll be ready to play because they watch video. They know how good Pittsburgh is. But like I said, the time for a great game plan to do some different things, that falls in Pittsburgh's hands. So this ought to be a great game right now. And if Pittsburgh can keep that quarterback, protect that quarterback, give him time, this could be real interesting.
We'll see exactly how it plays out. Coach and I will be back later in the week breaking down week number 12. For Coach Fountain, I'm Joe Lisi. Have a great day, everyone. We'll see you later in the week.